As always, thanks for listening in today to our Friday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we will be continuing our study in Exodus. So let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
We are going to be in the book of Exodus here this morning, but before you go to Exodus, I want you to go to John chapter 1. When we're done with Exodus, we're going to go to the Gospel of John, just so you know. And right now you're saying, so in about 3 years? Hey, we'll get there. We'll get there. Here in John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, the Word, and without Him, the Word, nothing was made that was made." Now, go down here to verse 14. "And the Word, which is God, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Who is that? That's Jesus. He's the only one begotten of the Father. But notice what it says here in verse 14. "And the Word, God, became flesh," Jesus, "and dwelt." The word "dwelt" there in the Greek is the exact same word as tabernacle. So He became flesh, Jesus, and tabernacled among us. Why would John, the author of this, in the Greek, use that word? Because Jesus is the tabernacle, that's why. And it's refer us back to the tabernacle, which we're going to go over here this morning. So go with us over here to Exodus chapter 26. By the way, we go through the whole chapter here today. That's right. That's right. Yeah, you think you know me, but I'm a man of mystery. You don't know me. You don't know what I'm going to do. The tabernacle is so important to God's redemptive program that John himself points to it there in chapter 1. And it's about 50 chapters in the Bible that explains the pattern, the construction, the actual service that goes into the tabernacle, and it all points to Jesus. Nothing was left to the imagination. Moses himself was given specific instructions to the last detail, how to construct, how to design the tabernacle. And if that wasn't good enough, God himself would show him a design from heaven itself. Just like it helps any contractor to see a set of blueprints to take a visual, so too did Moses. He was able to see the pattern or design that was in heaven. So precise was Moses to follow what was given him that it says over 20 times, "As the Lord commanded Moses," he did. Tabernacle was called by 5 different names. It's called the sanctuary in Exodus 25 verse 8, signifying it was set apart for a holy God. Tabernacle, it's called in Exodus 25, 9, reveals that it was a dwelling place for God. It's called a tent, just a tent, in Exodus 26, 36. And it reveals that it was to be a temporary dwelling place for God. It's called the tabernacle of congregation, Exodus 29, 42, because it was where God would meet with His people. And then you have the tabernacle of testimony, Exodus 38, verse 21, describes that the law given to Moses, which was kept in the Ark of the Covenant, located inside the tabernacle in that second compartment called the Holy of Holies. Now today, we're going to take a look at this temporary dwelling place of God. And just like has been mentioned in previous studies with the furniture, as well as the materials, as we'll see today, in the construction of the tabernacle, it all points to Jesus. And we're able to see that as it all points to Jesus, it also shows a flow of how God desires fellowship with us. It's my hope and desire as we go through the study of the tabernacle, all the furnishings, as well as the outer court stuff and the fencing itself, you can say that I've been to the mountain of God and seen the face of God, meaning you have a greater understanding of who God is, and because of that, you will have a greater desire to fellowship with Him. The structure itself 15 feet wide, 45 feet long. Inside, as we'll soon see, it has two compartments. You have the holy place, and then there's a veil, and then you have the Holy of Holies. There are four coverings over the tabernacle. First covering is of fine linen. Second covering of goat's hair. Third covering of ram skin dyed red. And then fourth covering of badger skins. This is what it possibly looked like right here. Okay? So as we're going to take this apart, and you'll be able to see this, the very first covering over it is going to be a fine linen. And then the one that covers that, so you're not able to see it or obscure it, is the goat's hair. And then you have the red ram skin covering, and then you have the badger skin covering. It says, as we'll find out, that word for badger is possibly could be porpoise or seal skin. I'll tell you why I don't think that's true. So, starting here in verse 1 of Exodus 26, it says, "Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine woven linen, blue, purple, scarlet thread, with artistic designs of cherubim. You shall weave them." And so we see this very first covering is going to have 10 curtains, or these strips, curtains of fine woven linen. They're going to have blue, purple, scarlet thread, as well as the white linen in there as well. Artistic design of the cherubim, so we can see them right here. These are the curtains that they're making. They're going to make 10 of these. And you can see the blue, the scarlet, the purple, and also white in there of the cherubim. There's a closer look at the next one here. I don't know if that helps, but you can see it a little bit more. But you see all those colors in there, and you still see the white in there. So all this is linen, but they would have dyed it red and blue and purple. And so here's the artistic designs of the cherubim there. So the length of each curtain is 28 cubits. Its width is going to be 4 cubits in verse 2 here. Every one of the curtains shall have the same measurement. So 18 inches means 42. If a cubit is 18 inches, then each of these, a cubit is 18 inches, and each of these coverings are going to be 42 feet long and 6 feet wide. And so you have 10 of them. That gives you a covering of 42 feet by 60 feet. And so if the tabernacle is 45 feet long by 15 feet high, then this covering would be more than enough to cover the length of the frame, down the back of the frame, as well as to the sides of the frame, even though to the side of the frame it comes up 2.5 feet short from touching the earth. Now, fine woven linen speaks of purity and righteousness. At the marriage supper of the Lamb, the church is given fine linen in which to clothe herself. In Revelation 19, verse 8, says, "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Further down, Revelation 19, 14, it says, "And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses." In Revelation 3:18, it says, "I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed." So white garments are fine linen. It speaks of righteousness. It speaks of purity. And so we even see Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration before Peter, James, and John, when all of a sudden he lit up. In Luke 9, verse 29, it says, "And he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening." Jesus appeared before them in white or linen garments. And it says it was white and glistening. The Greek word for white there is Clorox. It's really weird. but that's how you get them white. And so the fine linen is also the garment of the priests. In Exodus 28:39, it says, "You shall skillfully weave the tunic of fine linen thread. You shall make the turban of fine linen. You shall make the sash of woven work." And so, again, it speaks of the priests as they come before God. They had to be dressed in these garments. It speaks of purity before God. We see in this linen the artistic designs of the cherubim, supernatural beings that have wings. We also see that's also woven in there. We see the blue, we see the purple, we see the scarlet. Blue represents heaven. It's always a celestial color, a reminder of heaven. In Exodus 24, verse 10, when we went over Exodus 24, it says, "And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the heavens in its clarity." When we saw that study, we looked up this word sapphire, and the word sapphire stone in the Hebrew is sapir, and it means lapis lazuli, okay, which is that stone right there. And you can see how blue that is, you know. And then in its clarity, you know, to be really clear, it would represent heaven, or represent the sky or heaven. And so it's a heavenly color. I want you to go over here to Numbers chapter 15. Blue always represents heaven and materials and things like that. In Numbers chapter 15, starting verse 38, Moses, God speaks to Moses, and he tells him to tell the people to put these blue tassels on the corner of their robes. And so he says in verse 38, "Speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. And you shall have a tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined." And so these blue tassels, or the blue threading in the tassels, is a reminder of the heavenly commandments that was brought to them by God, and they weren't to forget that. Purple represents kingship or royalty. In Ezekiel 23, verse 6, it says, "Who were clothed in purple? Captains, rulers, all of them desirable young men, horsemen riding on horses." After Daniel would interpret the writing on the wall for Belshazzar, Belshazzar would reward him, and it says, "Then Belshazzar gave the command, they clothed Daniel with purple, put a chain of gold around his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom." Mark tells us that at Pilate's trial, as he had him crucified, before that, Pilate had him scourged. And after he was scourged, in order to mock him, what did they do? They put purple linen on him. "You're the king of the Jews? Let me crown you with a crown of thorns, and let me put purple on you." It says they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, in the way of mocking him. But purple does speak of royalty. Scarlet represents sacrifice or blood. In Isaiah 1:18, it says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." The word scarlet here in the Hebrew, tola, means worm. But it's a specific worm. It's a worm called the Coccus alisus, or the cochineal worm, which the scarlet dye comes from. They feed on the sap of oaks, and the female produces a red dye called kermes, and the source of the natural crimson. Kermes is a Turkish word that actually means crimson. It's the color of blood. So here's a picture of those little varmints right there. That actually looks like a raspberry. Someone could probably fool me, and I'd probably eat that. But if you squish them, scarlet blood. It is that scarlet red blood. And so they would smash a bunch of them, and that's how they would make the fine linen red. Okay, they would dye it from these little gals right here, because it's only the female that produces that. Knowing that they're a worm, it makes more sense when you read Psalm 22:6, speaking about the Messiah hanging on the cross. It says, "But I am a worm, no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people." Speaking of that, because what comes from the Messiah is going to his blood, which is going to atone mankind from their sin. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, meaning sin offering, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so Jesus took the place of a worm, he would call himself, and was crushed under God's wrath in that precious blood shed to put away our scarlet sin. And so again, this scarlet speaks of the suffering, the blood suffering that the Messiah is going to have to go through, Christ himself. And so these colors in the tapestry speak of God in heaven coming to earth. It's very prophetic of God in heaven. The King of the universe will also not only come from heaven, but he's going to have to take care of the sin problem. And he's going to do that by his own death and the shedding of his blood. Going back here to Exodus 26, verse 3. Right now you're thinking, no way, he's going to get done with chapter 26. He's still verse 3. 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another, and the other 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another. Let's take a look at this real quick. You're going to couple these together. Okay, we're going to slide them all together, but not here. We're going to slide these 5, we're going to slide these 5 together. In verse 4, it says, and you shall make loops of blue yarn on the edge of the curtain. The edge of the curtain would be right here. Okay, there we go. Look at that right there. All right. And on the selvage of one set, selvage is the end, or the ends at the very end there, of one set, likewise you shall do on the other edge of the other curtain of the second set, 50 loops you shall make in one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make on the edge of the curtain that is on the end of the second set, that the loops may be clasped to one another. And you shall make 50 clasps of gold and couple the curtains together with the clasps so that they may be one tabernacle. So there's the clasps of gold right there. It's going to bring both sets together. So they will be held tightly together. And so, again, the sets of 5 curtains were sewn the 5 were sewn together, the other 5 were sewn together, but then they were placed tightly together with these gold clasps. And so the question again, why blue yarn? Blue is the color of the sky or heaven, like we have just mentioned. The gold clasps, gold always speaks of deity. It's the chief of all the metals, and we've gone over that already. What about 50? Why 50 of them? Well, the only time 50 really shows up in the Old Testament is when it comes to the year of Jubilee, which speaks of freedom, which speaks of liberty. And so again, I would submit to you what you have here is that you have a heavenly covering that is going to bring you freedom and liberty, because it's God himself that comes down to shed blood for mankind. 10 curtains, 10 speaks of the law or the 10 commandments, which are perfect and righteous. It's very significant because it is the Lord himself that is perfect and righteous. God becoming man, he is fully God, fully man, coming down to live perfectly, did not sin. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 5:17, read, do not think that I came to destroy the law of prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. All the commandments, guess what? Those 10 commandments, Jesus fulfilled perfectly. Perfectly. And so we have the very first covering of the tabernacle here. It's a heavenly covering. Okay. Notice the cherubim everywhere. You're not going to see this from the outside because of the other coverings. The only people that are going to be able to see this, because that will be also on the inside, it will be up top here on the inside, are the priests that go in and they look up and they'll be able to see this design. They'll see this beautiful tapestry here. They're the only ones that will be able to see that. Okay. And so again, these colors are woven into these linen curtains with the cherubim, those supernatural beings with wings. So when you go into the holy place as a priest and look up, what do you see? You see this colorful tapestry depicting the heavens where the cherubim are flying around. Those designs are there for a reason, because we read in Scripture time and time again that God dwells between the cherubim. And so when you enter in, you understand you're entering in where God dwells. Heaven, in a sense, coming to earth. In Psalm 80, verse 1, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. Isaiah 37, 16, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone are of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Also Psalm 99, 1, 2 Kings 9, 15, and there's others that speak about God dwelling between the cherubim. So when you look up and see the angelic order flying around up there, you know that you're in the presence of God. And so Psalm 91, 4 says, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. God's feathers, his wings are his cherubim, are his cherubim. And so we can see this inference here that we are to recognize that when you're approaching in there as one of the priests, you're approaching the place where God dwells. The second covering, not as nice. You shall also make curtains of goat's hair to be a tent over the tabernacle. You shall make 11 curtains, not 10. The length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits, not 28. And the width of each curtain, 4 cubits. And the 11 curtains shall all have the same measurements. So the second covering is goat's hair, very coarse, very thick, very dark fabric. Most goats in the Middle East are dark. They're black. And so these curtains were made by joining together 5 and then 6. And each strip being 45 feet long, 6 feet wide. And so again, this is a little bit longer than the other one. Therefore, the fine layer, this heavenly set of curtains, was completely obscured and by the overlapping of the dark covering of the goat's hair. It was not open to outside observation. You couldn't see it from the outside. Heaven remained hidden to all those except for those who entered through the door. Who do you think that speaks of? Jesus is a door. Then they would have to look up and around the holy place, see the heavenly curtains of the fine linen once they got inside. And so in verse 9 it says, and you shall couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves, and you shall double over the 6th curtain at the forefront of the tent. So it hangs over a little bit there, okay, in the forefront of the tent. So 5 plus 6 makes 11 curtains, not 10. Verse 10 says, you shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is the outermost, and one set, 50 loops on the edge of the curtain. Of the second set, you shall make 50 bronze clasps. But the clasp in the loops, and couple the tent together that it may be one. So you have 50 loops, but no mention of those loops being blue. And we do not have gold clasps. This time it's bronze. Verse 12 says, the remnant that remains of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remains, shall hang over the back of the tabernacle, and a cubit on one side, a cubit on the other side, what remains of the length of curtains of the tent shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle, and on this side and on that side to cover it. And so here we have a picture here of that one. So it's darker. Notice 6 on this side, 5 on that side. Okay. And then that will be coupled together with bronze clasps, okay? And then when it's put over the tabernacle, we have this one right here. So it's about to go over this, and this beautiful tapestry right here is going to be completely covered up so no one can see it from the outside.
This Friday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love has come to a close. Don't miss Monday as we continue our study through Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids' ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.